From India's largest newsroom, I'm Arun George, and this is the Times of India podcast.
Arad was 8 when he left me. It was just a month after his birthday. He was going to school, he was doing Spanish, music, everything. And suddenly one day, he was declared brain dead. So it was very, very sudden. We were totally unaware about the fact that he has got a cyst in his brain until he was like in the ICU. He was there for like 18 days and we were just praying that a miracle will happen and he will come back. So it was a journey where I was fasting, I was praying all night. It was the Hajj time, so my relatives and friends were there. And everybody was praying for him. It was at Shirdi, Siddhi Vinayak, Mahim Darga, Haji Ali, Hanuman Mandir, Shiv Mandir, Mount Mary Church. Everybody was praying for him. But finally, he said goodbye and he left us. And we were standing at a place where life was ended for me and for Sif.
That's Sadia Hassan, who is the producer of Yes Papa, a film about child sexual abuse that is set to be released this month. But today's episode is not just about the film, but about Sadia Hassan's journey to taking up a cause that she says will define the rest of her days. Sadia has produced the film with her director husband, Saif Haider Hassan. But as you just heard her describe, the sudden death of her son in 2018 turned her life upside down. Ambika Pandit, who reports for the Times of India, spoke with her about how this catastrophic loss led to her meeting the survivor of incest, which in turn led to the making of this film. Sadia spoke with Ambika from her home in Mumbai about dealing with the loss of a child and how she has coped with it. She also spoke about how she met the survivor of abuse and why they decided to make the film. Sadia started by telling Ambika about how the loss of her son changed her life and resulted in her meeting the survivor. She says that it felt like her relationship with her husband had ended after their son's demise.
In some way, even our relationship ended because we were not able to face each other. We were in great pain. I decided not to go to that house ever again. I just can't stay at a place where my son is not there. So I was in Delhi for quite a long time. Saif was in Mumbai. He was working. And he was just working. He was not taking his medicines for diabetes, for BP. So his labels were going haywire. I was taking medicines. I was going through counseling sessions. And I realized that Saif is in a very, very bad health. So I decided to come back to Mumbai. I took him to the doctor. Doctor said, I don't see him surviving. And somewhere I felt that I need to gather myself. I need to get him back to life. And, you know, I just can't see him in that situation. So that was the time I started going to the orphanages. My friends asked me to start yoga. I was trying to learn Bharatanatyam. I was just trying to keep myself busy. And the reason of going to orphanages was those kids also need mother. And I felt I can hug them. I can be with them. So that was my way of being with kids. And I just wanted to be surrounded with kids that time. And there I met this girl who has been through a child abuse. I came back and I told Saif, my suffering is nothing in front of her. How is this girl going to face the world? How can she trust anyone? Because her father was the one who abused her. Her mother is not supporting her. For a child, parents are their world. So can she ever trust anybody?
Sadia says the survivor was under the care of an NGO and was training to be a nurse in the same hospital where her son had been admitted.
What is her story? Can you tell us her story?
She was sexually abused by the father, not once, but many times. And this NGO rescued her from there. The father was in the jail. And the irony was that the mother was calling up this girl and asking her to withdraw the case and to, you know, let it go. So if the NGO wouldn't have been there, I don't know what would have happened to this girl. And many such girls must be around. We just don't know. Because when you meet them, it's not a physical illness that you can make out this person is suffering from some disease. It's something, there's something deep inside them which we just can't make out when we are meeting them.
Suddenly, the film was a project for both Sadia and Saif. But she says they quickly discovered how difficult it was to raise funding for such a project. And even as they were going all out to make the film, Sadia found out she was pregnant.
And in the process, I got pregnant. Saif started writing the script. With his first draft, he started meeting people. And every second person had a story. Every second person knew somebody who has been through this. We were like struggling with the script for a year or something. Then we realized that nobody is going to fund it. And from there, my journey as a producer started when I told Saif, you don't worry. We are going ahead with this project. And I will arrange funds. And the way we can arrange funds is we can put our savings at stake, all mutual funds or FDs. We can put our flat on loan or we can sell it off. But we will take this cause up.
Often people choose silence and withdraw from the world when they suffer from tragedies, especially, you know, the situation you face, like the loss of a child. You and your husband Saif have instead chosen to speak up for other children. Does that somewhere give you a sense of peace and helps you come to terms with your loss?
I think yes. In our religion, there is one thing which is called Sadqa-e Jariya, which means is usually done the other way when your parents are not there. So you do something for them which will help the society and the world. And, you know, it's done for them on their name. So probably this is my and Saif's way of giving it to the society on Arat's name. If we can rescue some girls, I think this is what we can do for them, we want to do for them. If we can initiate a dialogue where mothers, I just want mothers to listen to their kids. I just want them to, you know, a dialogue which can happen because of this movie. Then, yes, this is what it's for Arat. It's from his side. It's been done. It's the first movie coming from his company, because when he left us, both of us decided we need to have a company on his name because he's our son and whatever is our livelihood should come from him.
You know, you became a parent a year after your son passed away. Your daughter turns 5 this year. Do you think breaking the silence around your pain, focusing on the cause of child rights, has helped you heal? Can there ever be closure to such pain?
No, never. This pain will go with me only. Healing, you learn to live with your loss, but you can never heal. There is no healing to, there is no closure to this pain. Every day when I get up, I talk to my son, I tell him, but I am one day closer to you. And I start my day. He is there all the time around us. If he will ever come to our house, his musical instruments, his football, you can see everything. So there is no healing to it. There is no closure to it. We just have to live with it. I just have to live with the fact that I have 2 kids. One is with me and one is with God.
What is your bond like with your daughter? I mean, you know, she came at a time when you were going through this trauma and then you got into the film making process. So what is your bond with her?
She's 5. She's very, very talkative. When I look at her, I feel it's God's miracle that I've been through so much of pain and trauma during the pregnancy and whatever we are going through. Even now, she goes for her football class, basketball class, dance and school and friends. We had a neighbor who lost his mother apparently on the day of Eid. And he stopped celebrating Eid from there. But my father used to say that parents should have that much of, you know, courage to ensure that their pain is not felt by the children. So I'm just trying to do that. I just want Saleha to grow up as a happy, confident child. Obviously, she will realize at one point what Mama Abba has gone through when I was a child. But I'm just trying to protect her. And at the same time, Arad will always and always stay with me.
Sadia, you said there is no closure. Such pain never goes away. So how does a mother cope? There must be so many other mothers who must be going through similar losses. What can you say to them? How can they cope with this?
One thought which gives you a little peace that he's at a safe place. He's with God. I don't know how you can cope, how I am coping right now. There are times where I just want to meet all of his friends. There are times when I just don't want to meet anybody who knows him. But yes, I feel good when I talk about him. I like to share his stories with my daughter. She knows that she has a brother who is not staying with us, is staying somewhere else. I keep myself busy. I connect to God. I think that's how you can cope. I'm still not in terms with my loss. I'm still trying to cope up. But yes, I keep myself busy and that's it. And I'm thankful to God that He has given me Saleha. So I have a reason to live.
Sadia Hassan tells Ambika Pandit how she had come to Mumbai after her marriage and the transition from a corporate life to motherhood. She also spoke about the message their film Yes Papa hopes to get across to parents.
Sadia, also tell us about your childhood, you know, your growing up years. Does your bond with your parents influence your journey today in some way? Also, I believe you were into a career that had nothing to do with films and then you gave up your career to be a full-time mother. And now you're a debutant producer. Can you share your journey briefly with us?
I'm born and brought up in a place called Aligarh. And my father was a professor, so it's a very isolated place. When I say isolated, I mean it's we are born and brought up in professor colony. So we interacted only with the staff, with the professor kids around us. It was a very, very pampered place where for me, my father was like, you allowed Dinka Jain, so if whatever you want, you will get it. And coming from there, when I got married to Saif and we shifted to Mumbai, I started working in the finance sector. I was at a very senior level in a very reputed bank when I decided to quit for Arad. So that was my journey as a professional. And when I quit it for Arad, I had in mind that I will be taking a break for like 2 years or something. Once he will start talking and he will be settled in the school, I will resume my job. But I started enjoying my motherhood. I was very happy in my zone and I just wanted it to continue. I felt that I need a little more time with him. And then he left me. And again, I got involved in this subject. So when I look back, I think as a mother or as a professional or now as a producer, one thing which is there in me is I'm very passionate about what I'm doing.
Why do you think that a film could offer a route to address the sensitive issue of child sexual abuse? Also, who is your audience here? Are you trying to send out a message to parents?
So definitely parents are my audience, and why we decided to go ahead with the film, even I was asked this question when we have done the screening at National Human Commission, okay, why not a documentary, why a film? So I said because a film will reach more, the penetration will be higher with a film than a documentary, and I want this film to be discussed. It's happening all around us. We have sessions happening there. We talk about good touch and bad touch. But I want the schools, I want the organizations to involve parents so that they can be aware. Okay, this is what is happening around us. It need to be spoken about.
I would like to know, you know, what were the hurdles you faced while making this film at the, whether it was difficult to go through the censor board, also financing the film. Did you face any kind of challenges? Can you share that, please?
Nobody was ready to finance it. So we have to put our own funds there. That's one. And the second thing is, in terms of censor, it took us 6 months. It was very, very difficult to get the censor. Even somebody approached us for money. Okay, you are dealing with this subject, so if you want the certificate, you need to, you know, pay something. So I said, I'm not talking about rape. I'm not promoting it. I'm talking about a child's safety. So why you think I will be paying money to you? Thankfully, the senior management got changed and now things are much smooth. But yes, even when I have gone for the, there was a revised committee who has been called for this movie. So there was like 12 people sitting in the auditorium when I entered. And the first thing I was asked was, why do you think this film should be allowed for public view? So again, my point was, if we are talking about the child safety, we should speak about it. That's the only way. If mothers will start talking about it, if schools will start conducting seminars, then everybody in the school, all the staff is aware that today is a child safety seminar. The parents are coming in. So they know if we are doing anything, the child will report to them. Because what is the biggest strength of these predators? They tell the child, nobody will trust you. If you will go and even take my name, nobody will trust you. But if they will feel, no, we will be called and questioned, then they will be careful and our kids will be safe.
In the film, Yes Papa, we see in the survivor Vinita, a deep-seated anger, you know, that defies her personality, her exterior that she's presenting to the world. Also, the film brings out the dilemma of the child facing abuse at the hands of a father, you know, who should have been her protector. Again, a very interesting part of the film talks about, you know, it sheds light on the mother of Vinita, you know, who never spoke up for her child through abuse. First staying in denial, then sending her off to an hostel and then destroying all the evidence. Is there a message for mothers here?
Yes, of course. And I think Saif has dealt with it very beautifully. It's not preachy thing in the film where, you know, it's not, the message is not sent directly to the audience that how the mothers should react. It was dealt in a very, very different manner, where when you're watching it, you feel why this mother is doing this, so you know what you're supposed to do. I have seen mothers when we have done the screening coming up and saying, how can she not listen to the child? So that is the message we as a husband wife, we as a couple, we as a producer director wants to give it to the public. Please listen to your child. Don't dismiss it. Kids can't make stories. They might not be right all the time, but they are not, they can't cook up a story is just try and investigate whether it's their imagination or something, or something is happening. We have many such mothers who are behaving like that, who need to think, what are they doing? Why are they not with their child? Why are they not listening to them? And realizing it 10 years or 20 years later will not help anybody.
We all believe that home is the safest space. And incestuous crimes are often dismissed or buried by family itself, that, you know, this cannot happen in our house. What does the film say to fathers?
See, I think there are two messages. One, the father is just part of the narrative in the film. It's not that the fathers are being questioned here. The second thing is, it's a message to the mothers that you have to be careful to that limit. Overall, it's for the parents. We are talking about the predator in the house. The person you're considering as a caretaker can also be the predator. There are two fathers in that movie. So it's not that we are questioning fathers in any manner. There are incidences, there are cases where the father is the predator. So we are not denying that fact, but we are not also endorsing it. We are just saying, be careful and listen to your child. That's it.
So where do you go from here? I mean, the film releases later in March, but, you know, are you going to be pursuing this cause beyond the film for life now?
Yes, for sure. I want this to be included in the school sessions for parents. When I'm saying this, I'm not talking about promoting my movie as such. I'm talking about this subject in any manner the schools can engage with it. And I want the mothers to come out. I want that strong voice coming out. Kid, we will not let this happen. Such predators will not be allowed in the society to move freely. We will catch them. And our voice will terrify them, I know that. So yes, I will be taking it beyond the movie. Movie will get released, and whenever, wherever I will get an opportunity, I will take it up.
Today's episode was produced by Jairaj Singh and Sahil Gupta. For a daily spotlight on people, ideas and stories that matter, subscribe to us. We're available on TOI Plus, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and all other platforms of your choice. For any news tips, email us at toipodcast@timesinternet.in.